that he's really doing humor or he's an entertainer. And he's indeed constitutionally entitled to his opinion, but he's not constitutionally entitled to the people's airwaves. And people are trying to... I did.
Oh, you just said that?
And people are trying to go through the FCC and tell him they need to drop him. His sponsors are falling off. Didn't you say another sponsor fell off? No, only here's the funny thing.
I'm not saying sponsors are falling off.
The mattress company you talked about was one of his first...
Sleep Train has been with him since the beginning.
And now... They dropped him.
They dropped him, and they made a statement about how he doesn't fit their corporate policy. And then all of a sudden, they wanted to come
they
back.
They wanted back
and
on.
He said,
no,
thanks.
No.
Not after the statement you made about me. You can't come back.
Well, he can dish it out, but he can't take it. Is that what I'm hearing?
I don't know why you are so negative. If you want to take
I am negative on him.
There's a long list of people that comes before him.
I do believe in the First Amendment, but I think he has crossed the line. And we'll see what's going to happen with him. But is it fluck or fluke? Do we know yet?
I don't know. I've never heard anybody say fluck, but if...
Oh, I heard...
I don't listen to television.
I was listening to O'Reilly, and he came up with the idea that she is a contraception advocate, paraded around by Nancy Pelosi, actually, got her some of her engagements to speak on the issue, which I think is pretty out there. But then Bill O'Reilly did some of his research. And he had a theory that the White House was actually behind it all, you know, for the distraction of what was going on with Obama and the Catholic contraception issue. And he made his case by first, I'm talking O'Reilly now, by first detailing who's been booking Fluck, various media outlets. They're saying there's a mysterious man named Mike. Strangely enough, he can't track him down. But he says she's being represented by someone from the progressive PR from SKDK Knickerbocker, where Anita Dunn, that's the one I was trying to think of, former Obama communicators and director, is managing her. But I think they're just on the same sleep train. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, we wanted to clear that up a little bit, and we're just going to have to wait and see what happens with Rush. Now they're down on Doomsbury, and it's all crazy.
You know, we were talking that certain stuff comes on the internet and it just gets repeated and repeated till it's like the truth, even though it's not the truth.
Yeah.
One of them is that she gave testimony. She did not give any testimony. Nancy Pelosi held some kind of a fake little meeting and then filmed it like it was a hearing, and it looked like she was giving testimony. No.
Somebody took that out of context.
It was just some Democrats sitting in a room
talking.
And Fluke read a statement. There's no testimony given. Nobody was
under
oath.
Yeah, we were misled all the way down.
All the way through.
Yeah, we were misled. And she is an advocate for contraception. Okay, she has her right to speak, and there we go. So that's the whole thing. Pelosi. Pelosi was talking. She was on CNBC, I believe it was. Heritage, a nice catch, interviewed Nancy Pelosi last week. Maria Bartiromo. I love her.
Okay.
I can't pronounce her name. But anyway, they were talking about the role of government in business expansion. And she asked Pelosi, should agencies like the NLRB have the authority to shut down private sector plants simply for not being unionized?
And what did Pelosi say?
Yes.
No way.
Yes.
You're
yes.
Kidding. Did she understand the question?
Yes, but I couldn't tell you that. But she said yes. She barely waited for the question to be asked before she said that, too. Should the government get involved in corporate decisions about labor relations? And she said yes.
Is she really as dumb as some of the things she says, or is she just
dumb as
foolish?
A bag of rocks, I think. Jeez. So that's something. Sarah Palin demands Obama's super PAC return Bill Maher's campaign donation. Did you see that?
Yeah, because Bill Maher is one of those people that should be above Rush Limbaugh and to get him off.
Well, didn't he call her the C word?
He has.
Palin.
Yeah.
And he called Laura Ingraham the slut.
He's even gone into insulting poor.
Yeah, he's getting right up there with the entertainers that Rush Limbaugh is.
Bill Maher has come out and said, I don't like being compared to Rush Limbaugh.
Well,
I'm not
he's
as
asking
as
for
Rush Limbaugh.
Well, he's trying. He's working at it.
He's had way more worse
things.
He's
working at it. So that's politics. Do you have anything else you want to discuss before we get to our guest today?
No, I just, you know that Harold Camping, who was on this program.
Yeah, he backed down.
He has apologized for predicting the end of the world, and he has promised not to predict the end of the world anymore.
Day of the Rapture, Apocalypse, Christian broadcaster Harold Camping. The day, of course, we remember, passed without calamity, May 21st.
then October 21st.
We humbly acknowledge we were wrong.
I guess.
I know. What, did if they return all the money? Did they return all the money that they took?
That's what I don't know. What happened to these people who sold their houses and gave it to the church?
Well, I think that was for publicity. Oh. So he's probably laying in his trailer wondering what happened to himself. So anyway, that's we were talking about that maybe what was he doing? So that's what he's doing. Nothing but apologizing now.
It's been a rough year for Harold.
It has been a rough year.
Two predictions that didn't come through, and then he had a stroke.
I know.
Poor
I know.
Guy.
Well, he's old. He's old. Speaking of, some things are getting old, and one of them is the fact that you can't eat fat without having high cholesterol. You have a little knob right there, Mr. Matt. Without having high cholesterol, they're saying that high cholesterol causes heart attack. And we're finding out new information about that. Awesome. Eat fat, be healthy, when a low-fat diet can kill you. Welcome, Matthew Bayon.
Hi there.
Hey there. How are you today?
Good. How have you been?
Really good. Really super. And I've been reading your book, and I'm fascinated with how you got all this information together. Now, well, let's just start out with a little bit about you. You had a heart attack in your 40s.
I was 45.
45.
And I had a massive heart attack that came out of nowhere.
Right.
I had no warnings.
Where were you when you had this heart attack?
I was in Des Moines, Iowa.
At work? At home?
I was at home when it happened. Yeah.
Okay.
It was 4 in the morning. I was asleep.
They say most heart attacks happen between 3 and 4 in the morning. They're scary. I wake up and I see 3 o'clock and I go, ah!
It's weird. I have, for a long time after that, I would wake up at 4 a.m. exactly.
Yeah.
Strange.
Oh,
but
yeah,
anyway.
Really. Anyway.
I woke up at 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And felt like there was
something on your chest.
An elephant sitting on my chest.
Yeah.
And I turned out to have a massive heart attack. I was healthy. I was thin.
You exercised.
I exercised every day. I was on a low-fat diet.
Low-fat.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
I was the head of nutrition for the Iowa Department of Health.
Whoa.
So I thought I knew what I was doing, right?
Wow.
So after I had the heart attack, it was kind of like, how could this happen?
Yeah.
I began doing research. And fortunately, I ran into a couple of cardiologists who were really at the cutting edge of the research on heart disease. And the stuff they told me, at first, I didn't believe.
Because you'd heard opposite.
Right.
You'd heard the opposite.
For instance, they wanted me to go on a higher fat diet. And I said, you're nuts. Everything I've ever learned is low fat.
Trying to keep my cholesterol down.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
So they said, all right, let's do this. Just give me 30 days. 30 days, we'll do another blood test. 30 days later, my blood chemistry completely turned around on a higher fat diet. And I said, you guys, where's this coming from?
Okay, now wait a minute. First of all, what did you eat that was a higher fat diet? What did you add to your diet that was...
The kinds of fats, that's really important. For instance, I'm not talking about eating cheeseburgers.
Oh, darn it. I was hoping.
That's where my mind was.
The kinds of fats that I started to eat were like olive oil. Used olive oil a lot. Nuts, peanuts, walnuts are really good. Avocados, things that contain what are called monounsaturated fats rather than saturated fats. So if you switch those fats, I call it fat switching, you begin to change the way your body produces cholesterol.
Mm.
And your cholesterol content begins to change.
Interesting.
Now, for some people, that might be enough. For other people, it's not enough. For me, it wasn't enough. It caused a shift, but it still wasn't good enough. And
so how did you know? Your lab work, you did lab work after the 30 days, and what? Your cholesterol was still high, or how did you know that you, it wasn't enough?
What my doctor was doing was an advanced cholesterol test. You know, the normal one that you get?
Yeah, that we all get.
You see, it's your cholesterol level, HDL, LDL,
right,
and your triglycerides. That's not enough, because that doesn't tell you what's going on at a much lower level. For instance, LDL is considered to be bad cholesterol.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what they say.
And they want you to stay under 100, all right, a score of 100. You could have a score of 80, which most doctors would say, oh, this is really good. You've got a healthy LDL level. But what is that 80 composed of? There are many different particles making up cholesterol. They're just grouped together as LDL, but there are all sorts of different kinds. Think of it as if you say citrus. Are you talking about grapefruits, oranges, lemons, or limes?
Right.
They
pulp
taste different.
Pulp or juice or...
Mm-hmm. They're different sizes, different tastes.
Mm-hmm.
The most dangerous form of LDL is called small particle LDL, and it's like lemons. it's very dangerous. So if you have a large proportion of those particles, you're going to get a heart attack, even though your overall score is low.
What causes those particles? Is it genetic?
It's largely genetic.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's 50% of heart disease is genetic.
Oh, I didn't realize that either. But except I did read it in your book, but in fact, I didn't.
We could take my quiz.
Oh.
If you would like.
All right. Okay.
But go on. Want to go on with the story.
But go on with your story. Yeah, go on with your story. Yeah, in 30 days, you were better, but it wasn't enough.
It wasn't enough, and we began to experiment. And we experimented for almost 2 years with different therapies. Right now, I'm on a very high dose of vitamin D and also B3, which is called niacin. Niacin, for some reason, changes the way your liver produces cholesterol. And it stamps out the production of those very small LDL particles that are so dangerous. That's a good thing. In my case, that's what we needed to do.
Really?
We experimented with maybe 4 or 5 different protocols, all of which can work. They all have different, slightly different side effects.
So you're saying everybody's a little different,
everybody's different.
Though genetic things
right.
bring...
Score 75, in case you're interested.
Yeah, okay. So everybody's different on how the particles are produced and what helps those particles...
How to change the production of those particles.
Change the production.
The problem that I see with most doctors now is that...
They don't know this.
Well, they treat everybody like it's a cookie cutter.
Yeah, I know it.
They do 3 things with you after you've had a heart attack. Number one, put you on a low-fat diet. Number two, exercise, right?
Yeah.
And three would be your stress reduction.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I found in my research, and also I happen to be one of these people that on a low-fat diet... you actually trigger the production of the type of cholesterol that will cause a heart attack.
Hmm.
Hear that?
That sounds
insane.
It does sound insane.
It's counterintuitive.
It's not something that a doctor would tell you.
Most doctors don't know that. But that's something that the research has been showing.
Mm-hmm.
It's been out there for years, but it hasn't permeated into the mainstream yet. I know it to be true because with the therapy that I went on, we completely changed my cholesterol content.
And it took you 2 years, basically.
It took us 2 years of playing around.
Mm-hmm.
And now there are thousands of patients being treated this way. But the key is you have to start up front. Let me be clear. For some people, a low-fat diet would be perfect. For other people...
Maybe it is your high cholesterol or something clogging up your arteries. And maybe it isn't the particles.
It depends on your chemistry.
So how can we get a test to find out if we have the particle or genetically structured?
Well... the test that I use, there are several, the one I use that's available locally is called the VAP test, V-A-P, and it breaks down the HDL and LDL into its subparticles so that you can see kind of what your genetic makeup is. And from that, you can then determine what you should do. For some people, the solution might be a low-fat diet. For some, it might be a higher-fat diet with certain therapies. For others, it may be do nothing, you're fine. But you don't know that from the standard lipid panel.
I know, but I'm kind of nervous about the fact that you don't know if your doctor knows about these things or not. Right. How do you find a doctor that knows about these things? Online?
That's an interesting question. I think you ask.
Because you can tell your doctor, and doctors will tell you, well, I think I know what's best for you, as you well know.
Well, listen, I probably was in that category when I started until I realized that mistakes were being made that could kill me. And I became my biggest advocate, my own advocate. For my own health, I had to stay alive. Along the way, there were several points where a decision was made that I disagreed with. And I said, no, I won't do that. You have to prove to me that what you're suggesting that I do makes sense. What are the side effects? What do you expect to happen? What do you really know about this? And unless they could convince me, I wouldn't do it. Over time, it turned out that we made the right guesses. I changed doctors, by the way.
Yeah, well, now there's research to support.
There's plenty of research to support it, and I put it into Eat Fat, Be Healthy.
Yeah.
I've got an appendix in the back of all the research papers that have been used to compose to compose this book. And it's solid evidence. There are cardiologists right here in Reno who are using this therapy that I'm on. I mean, I'm being treated here in Reno. And they've got thousands of patients being treated this way and reversing heart disease without surgery.
Okay, explain a little bit what the therapy entails. That's more of the unsaturated fats.
Basically, you want to shift away from saturated fats and sugar. Sugar turns into fat.
Well, we've heard that for so long. Yeah.
You know, sugar, you really have to cut that back. But switch fats and probably a 25% to 30% of your diet, if your calories are fat, most of that you want to be monounsaturated fat. So we're talking peanuts, olive oil, avocados, you know, that kind of stuff. Fish, all kinds of fish are good.
Except in Japan.
Where they're radioactive.
I'm sorry.
Well, see, if you eat those fish, you can also treat cancer.
Because of the radiation.
I've thought of that, to be honest with you. Although they're full of radiation, hey, now.
And you'll never need a flashlight again.
That's right. No colon cancer after eating those fish.
So tell me how long ago this happened to you. How long have you been healthy now with this therapy?
I'm in my 16th year, which is kind of interesting because originally they gave me 10 to 15 years to live.
Look at that.
Yeah. So I'm kind of beyond the limits here. And I'm doing very well. I have had no relapses. I've had no heart attacks since, no chest pain.
And none. Zero.
Zero. And my arteries are clear. I had an angiogram 2 years ago. My arteries are clear.
Well, now let me ask you something. Can you ask for this test? Can you go to your doctor and say, I want a VAP test?
Yeah, you can. In fact, on the local, the sheet that they give you for labs, you know, they check off the different things.
Yeah, check off all this stuff.
CBCs, et cetera. There's a box for VAP now, which is a big breakthrough.
I just went through all the blood tests. So.
Did you go through?
Should have asked for the VAP.
You better get a VAP test, buddy. I mean, you don't know. Should you go before you have a heart attack?
Yes, I really think that everybody from the age of maybe 21 should get a baseline test to see where they are. Because if you have heart disease running in your family, you may not know it, which means you're setting yourself up for a big surprise. I did not know that I had seven men in my family had died of heart attacks before the age of 60.
Ooh.
How did you not know that?
Yeah. You never asked.
After my book came out, I got contacted by people I was related to that I didn't even know existed.
Okay, all right. So you didn't know them.
And I found out all this family history of the brother of my grandfather. That whole side of the family we had no contact with. And there were, I think, five on that side that had had heart attacks, many in their 30s and 40s.
Whoa, that's very young.
So it turns out I'm the only, out of eight males that I know of in my family, I'm the only one to survive a heart attack.
Tell me a daily routine of yours. Just give me a little example of what healthily you do for yourself every day.
I wake up. Okay. In time to watch Oprah.
I wake up at 4 a.m. every morning.
With a coffee and donut.
Do you drink coffee?
No. No, I never drank coffee.
Stop it. I love my coffee.
I can't drink it. It makes me like a...
Nervous.
Like a fly in a bottle, you know?
Yeah. Like that fly in a bottle. Woo-hoo. Okay, so you wake up and you have orange juice, olive oil, and...
I have oatmeal.
Fish.
And I take my medications and I drink tea. Lunch, I usually have fish. In the afternoon, every other day, I go to the gym. I work out for an hour and a half.
So you're living you're living a healthy life. Which...
Yeah, I'm not handicapped in any way. I'm you know, like some people who have a diminished heart capacity might feel dizzy.
Do you have high blood pressure?
No. Never had high blood pressure. High blood pressure did not cause my heart attack. Cholesterol caused my heart attack.
But these little particles.
Yes, a specific strain of cholesterol, which runs in families. And that's one of the dangerous things that a lot of people don't realize. If you look at your relatives and see who's had heart disease, whether it's a heart attack or stroke, I mean, they're really the same factor, or heart disease.
Are they?
Yeah, a stroke is caused by a blood clot, and most heart attacks are caused by a blood clot. See, what happens is in the arteries, as little fatty globules begin to build up on the walls of the artery.
Stopping the blood flow.
This is what has changed.
Okay.
For decades, doctors thought that it was blockage